شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ويهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we were talking last time about sujood al-sahw, and we are basically done with it. But to be fair, I said, you know what, I presented the opinion of Sheikh Albani in regard to the simplified opinion of how that sujood al-sahw is usually, you can do it before or after taslim, and you should try to do it before taslim. If you forget, you do it after taslim. And if you also forget doing it after taslim and remember later on, you should still do it, because it is obligatory. It has to be done to mend some prayers, some mistakes in the prayer. If you forget it totally, and you know, then inshallah Allah is forgiving and merciful. And so that's the best thing to do, or that's the easiest way to understand it. However, there are other opinions, and as I said last time, that there are books written on how you perform sujood sahw, and for specific cases, when you perform it, it is before, after it, and so on. That it becomes very confusing or very detailed to know all the cases and then to act upon any specific case when it arises. So there is an opinion which is probably intermediate in between those that detailed and the simplified, which is given by Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and I'll translate it for you, just as I said, for the sake of being fair in this regard. He says, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his fatwa, he says, the most apparent or the strongest of the opinions is those which differentiate between reducing or taking off from the prayer or completing the prayer, between taking off or adding to the prayer. So there are cases where one would take off from the prayer, reduce the full length of the prayer, or the cases where he would do more than what he's supposed to do. And between these two cases, and between being in doubt, even though one tried his best to know what is the his situation, and the doubt in which a person builds on certitude, which means he builds on what he knows for sure that he did, and then he does something extra. This, he says, is the differentiation that makes sense and that allows us to use all of the texts that have been that we have in regard to the sujood sahw, the sujood of forgetting. If there is a deficiency in the prayer, such as leaving the first tashahud, then the prayer requires jabr. Jabr means fixing, mending, like you know, if you have a broken part and you want to fix it, or a broken arm, you want to fix it by that's what we call jabr. What do you call in English? To fix an arm. Broken arm. No.
Mend?
No, when they put the cast. Yeah, put a cast or something to fix it. So, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Jabr?
Jabr. And the fixing in this case, or the jabr, would be before salam, so that the prayer will be complete. Because the salam is terminates the prayer, makes everything permissible after it. And if there is an addition, such as adding a rak'ah, then it is not, one should not make two additions in one prayer, in the same prayer. Which means if he added to the prayer, then he should not add further by making sujood sahu before taslim. That's what he's saying. So in that case, you make the sujood after salam. And that is just to displease the devil, shaitan. So it would appear like a separate prayer that one has fixed by it a mistake in his prayer. Because those two sajdah that one makes after the prayer, they are like a full rak'ah. Similarly, if one has a doubt and tries his best to know what is right, then it is that makes his prayer more complete. That is, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Zaki, if there is doubt, if one has doubt, that is, he's not doubtful about certain parts of the prayer, whether he did them or not. And he tries his best to know whether it is he did or not, but still he has the doubt. So in that case, it is more complete for the prayer to make the sujood sahu before taslim. That's what he's saying. No, he's saying if he has doubt and he tries his best, then it is more complete for him. And the two sajdat are only to displease or anger the devil, and that would be after salam. Also, if he makes salam and then there is still some part of his prayer and he completes it afterwards, then فَقَدْ أَتَمَّهَا. So he has completed it, and salam is an additional thing, and the sujood would be after the salam because it is anger, it involves angering the shaitan. I don't know if I understand here what he exactly means. Now let's see. Didn't we say, we said that there is a text for in Sahih Muslim, right, where the Prophet ﷺ made a mistake. أما قبل الصلاة نظر تسليم وكبر قبل التسليم ثم سلم. That's one way in which he made it before taslim. فلا يجلس ليسه فسجد سجدتين بعدما سلم. I'm trying to find the hadith. Okay. Yeah, here it is. The hadith of Amran bin Hussein that we went over last time, in which the Prophet ﷺ prayed the Asr prayer and then he made taslim after three rak'at, and then he entered his house and the man called him and he said, "You did not pray the full prayer." So he said, did he say the truth? And the people said yes. So he prayed one more rak'ah, and then he made taslim, and then he made sujood, and then he made salam again. So there is a salam associated with these two rak'ah sujdat if we make them after salam. That's what I wanted to confirm. And this is in Sahih Muslim, yes. The hadith of Amran bin Hussein.
This is the sujood when you have doubt.
Sit here. You are not awake. No. So sit here.
This is the sujood when you have doubt.
This which one?
No,
I'm coming back to what the text of Ibn Taymiyyah is. What he says. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ إِذْ شَكْ إِذَا شَكَّ وَتَحَرَّ فَإِنَّهُ أَتَمُّ لِصَلَاتِهِ. I think he has the paragraphs separated in the wrong way. Let me go to the previous paragraph. وَإِذَا كَانَ مِنْ زِيَادَةٍ كَرَكْعَةٍ لَمْ يَجْمَعْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنَ زِيَادَتَيْنِ. If there is, if the doubt sujood sahu is because he added a rak'ah, something like a rak'ah, then he should not make two additions in one prayer. بَلْ يَكُونُ السُّجُودُ بَعْدَ السَّلَامُ. Rather, the sujood should be after salam. لِأَنَّهُ إِرْغَامٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ, because it is a displeasure of for Satan to do that. بِمَنْزِلَةِ صَلَاتٍ مُسْتَقِلَّةٍ. It's like a separate prayer. جَبَرَ بِهَا نَقْصَ صَلَاتِ, in which he mends the naqs in this case, even though he means deficiency, but he doesn't mean that he did shorter, he prayed shorter, he means that it's just incomplete in the sense that it is incorrect. So he amends the mistake in the prayer. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جَعْلَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ كَرَكَعَ, because the Prophet ﷺ made the two sajdat like one additional rak'ah. وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا شَكَّ وَتَحَرَّ فَإِنَّهُ أَتَمَّ صَلَاتَهُ. Also, if he is in doubt and he tries his best to know what is the right, the correct thing in this situation, then such a person has completed his prayer. That's what he's saying. وَإِنَّمَا السَّجْدَتَيْنِ تَرَيْنِ شَيْطَانِ. In this case, also the two sajdat are to displease Satan, to anger Satan, just for that purpose. So that case would be after salam. وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا سَلَّمْ وَقَدْ بَقِيَ عَلَيْهِ بَعْضُ صَلَاتِهِ. Also, if he gives salam and he still has some of the prayer, ثم أكملها, then he completes it, فقد أتمها, then he has completed it. So if he, after salam, he finds that there is still some prayer, some part of the prayer that he did not do, like in the case when the man called him out from his house, then he does it after salam, he says, والسلام منها زيادة والسجود بعد في ذلك بعد السلام لأن الغام للشيطان. Now that case he makes sujood after salam, he says, and that is also to displease Satan. وأما إذا شك ولم يتبين الله الراجح, but if he is in doubt and he's not sure which is the most, the more correct of the two possibilities, فهنا إسلام الله إما يكون صلى أربعة أو خمسة. In such cases, it would be that he either prayed four or five, for instance. فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى خَمْسَ, if he had prayed five, then the two فَالسَّجْدَتَنْ يَشْفَعَ لَهُ صَلَاتَ, then the two سَجْدَتْ will amend his prayer for him, or as if he made it one more to make it six. يَكُنْ كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ صَلَّى سِتَّ لَا خَمْسَ وَهَذَا إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ. So this also would be before salam. وهذا القول الذي نصرناه هو الذي يستعمل. He says this opinion makes use of all the texts without leaving any, or plus in addition to employing the correct qiyas. Qiyas, which means analogy. But as you see, still it is confusing. And for me personally, even though I used to know this opinion and, I memorized it, but now to come and think about it, in any particular case you find that you are in doubt, which one of these cases is this? Is it, did I pray less and then I have to complete it, or did I pray more, or am I in doubt, or is it I tried my best and thought which kind of doubt it is, and so on. So it is confusing. It is best to go really by what, the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani. And I'm not sure which other scholars support that opinion, but it is the simplest, which is that normally we pray it before Taslim. If we are in doubt, we pray before Taslim. If we, and it is permissible to leave it until after, but we should not, we should not fear, obliged to pray, to do it specifically, to do these two rak'ah before the prayer or after the prayer. Allahu a'lam. That seems to be the easiest. And also, if you go over the five ahadith, the five texts that I presented here, which are in regard to sujood sahu, you find that this, all of them can be incorporated with this understanding. Incorporate this understanding. One of them says that if he does so and so, then he should make sujood sahu. He should make. He says, lets him pray two sajdat, and then specifically he says before sujood, before taslim, and another case he says after taslim. But it doesn't, we cannot conclude that he meant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically that it must be like this in this case or something like that. So it could be understood that, the understanding could, this understanding could cover all the ahadith in an acceptable way. Now, one thing that could arise in the discussion of sujood as-sahu is, we mentioned before that man taraka sunnatan nasiyan sajada as-sahu. Whoever leaves off a sunnah forgetfully, or he forgets to perform a sunnah of the prayer, then he makes sujood as-sahu, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِكُلِّ سَهْوٍ سَجْدَتَانِ, every sahu has two sajdat. Whenever a person makes forgets, he makes a sajdat. But this is just recommended, it's not wajib, because otherwise if we make it wajib, we are making something wajib that resulted from something which is not wajib, which doesn't make sense, because it results from a recommended thing. And we have covered what are the recommended things in the prayer. Like, for instance, if someone, what is a sunnah of the prayer that you can think of?
Mm-hmm. Raising the hands when coming up.
Okay, that's right. So suppose that somebody did not do that. Does he make sujood sahu? He says it is recommended, but it is not obligatory. And to say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem in the beginning of the prayer, Dua al-Istiftah, Subhanakallah wa bihamdik, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This, or Wajjahtu wajhi alladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard, this is recommended, it's not wajib. Nobody says it's wajib, and it does not invalidate the prayer to drop it. So he's saying it is recommended, if one forgets it, to make sujood as-sahu, and so on, the dua between the two sajdat, and so on. Now, I really disagree with this opinion. What I believe is that sujood as-sahu should be done only if the person performed missed a wajib in the prayer. Otherwise, you will find people making sujood as-sahu without limits, and there are, like, you know, I know people who, when the imam makes a mistake in the prayer and you correct him, they say after the prayer, they used to ask us, aren't we supposed to make sujood as-sahu because the imam made a mistake, and things like that. Or, you know, sometimes the imam is about to do something but he doesn't do it, and I have had some arguments with our imam here that sometimes he makes sujood as-sahu and nobody of the whole masjid knows why he did it. And I asked him why he did it. He said, for instance, because I was about to get up without sitting for in between the two rak'at, the two sets of rak'at. And then I remember that I remained sitting, I say, or something like that, if I remember correctly. So I say, but you did not stand, and there is, and the Prophet ﷺ did not make sujood sahu for these cases. So what I believe is that sujood sahu should be done for the cases, situations which have been reported in the sunnah, or something similar to them, or something of their weight, something reported in the sunnah, like a person while he is, and in this case you would ask if somebody was about, started standing, and then he remembered that he has to sit for tashahud. We said if he almost completed standing, then he continues and he makes sujood. What if he does not complete the standing? If he is just about started standing and then he remains sitting, does this require sujood sahu or not? Personally, I believe he doesn't. Now, some people make sujood sahu of that, and I believe one should not, because the hadith does not support it. The hadith says that if he completed standing, then let him not sit, but make sujood sahu at the end. But it doesn't say that if he In either case, he has to make the sujood sahw. Because, and other things, you know, there are so many things that we find ourselves about to do in the prayer, but we do not do. So do we make sujood sahw for that? The answer is no. And also another thing related to sujood sahw, maybe, I don't know if it will be covered when we talk about Salatul Jama'ah, is if you are in a Jama'ah behind an imam, and the imam makes a mistake, and he, whether he makes sujood sahw or not, it's not you, you are not required to make sujood sahw. Okay, so let's say the imam what could be, or you made a mistake, no not the imam, you made a mistake. Let's say the imam was about to go for ruku' and he thought he was going for sujood. Now you go to sujood and then you realize that he's actually in ruku'. So you get up and make sujood by ruku'. Now normally if you are praying by yourself, this requires sujood sahw, because you skipped even though there is no text about it in the hadith that we read, but you skipped a rukun, a major pillar of the prayer, by going from ruku' to sujood, and then you went up and made ruku'. So Allahu A'lam, this requires a sujood sahw. But if you that's if you make it by yourself. If you make it behind the imam, then the imam, the jama'ah prayer takes care of this, because as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "A'immatukum yusalluna lakum," your imams pray for you, which means they lead you in the prayer. And another hadith, he says that the imam is like a guarantor, he guarantees the correctness of the prayer. So فَإِنْ أَصَابُوا فَلَكُمْ وَلَهُمْ, if they are right, then it is for you and for them and you. وَإِنْ أَخْطَأُوا فَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ, and if they make mistakes, it is for you and against them, which means it is their mistake but not yours. So it means that our mistakes are covered also by the imam. And therefore, if we make a mistake while we are behind the imam, we do not have to make sujood sahw. However, if, let's say, we come to the prayer in the second rak'ah or third rak'ah, and the imam, we finish our prayer with the imam, and then we get up to continue what we have missed, and we make a mistake in that part that we missed, then in that case we have to make sujood sahw for the part that was after the jama'ah prayer. Okay? Or let's say the imam made taslim, and you came and prayed with the imam only 2 rak'at out of 4. And you made taslim with him. And then we started leaving, and then somebody said, hey, you only prayed 2 rak'at. Or we remember that we only prayed 2 rak'at, not 4. So we come back, we pray 2 more rak'at, and we make sujood sahw after that. Okay? So that was after the guarantee that is covered by the imam, because it was after taslim. Okay, now I know the subject of sujood sahw is usually confusing, and I don't know if I made it a little simpler or more confusing, Allahu A'lam, but at least I tried. And you know, to summarize in a few words, normally do it before taslim if you remember. If you do not remember, do it after taslim. And if you remember the situation that the Prophet ﷺ did, do it the way he did them. Otherwise, this is the rule. And also, what's the other issue? Only do it for the situation that have been reported in the Sunnah, or something of their magnitude, like a major, missing a major rukun, a major part or pillar of the prayer, or a wajib of the prayer. That is a wajib or a rukun of the prayer. That's when you make sujood sahw, Allahu A'lam. Now the jama'ah prayer. This is more comfortable for me. The jama'ah prayer. Now we'll be discussing jama'ah prayer for a while. For this meeting and maybe the next meeting as well. the ruling of Salat al-Jama'ah, or the hukum of Salat al-Jama'ah, it is obligatory for those who can attend it, who do not have an excuse to be away, to be absent from it. Because Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ آمُرَ بِحَطَبٍ فَيُحْطَبْ ثُمَّ آمُرَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَيُؤَذَّنُ لَهَا ثُمَّ آمُرَ رَجُلًا فَيَأُمَّ النَّاسِ ثُمَّ أُخَالِفُ ثم أخالف إلى رجال فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم والذي نفسي بيده لو يعلم أحدهم أنه يجد عرقا سمينا أو مرماتين حسنتين لشهد العشاء. Which means, by the one in whose hand is my soul, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I was about to command for some firewood to be gathered, collected, and then I will command that the prayer, the adhan for the prayer be given, and then command that a man would lead the people in the prayer, and then I go myself to some men who do not come to the prayer and burn their houses over them. By the one in whose hand is my soul, if any of those knew that he would find a fat arq, I'm not sure which part of the animal it is, but some meat, in the masjid, that is, or some nice ribs, pieces of rib that he can eat if he goes to the masjid, then he would come for sure for the Isha prayer. So people, if they know that there is food, they will come for the prayer. And there is even something even much more valuable for them, if they only knew it, how come they do not come? So this hadith indicates that it is an obligation to attend the Isha prayer, because otherwise the Prophet ﷺ would not have had such a thought and such an intention. And also Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that a blind man was brought to the Prophet ﷺ. Utiya al-Nabiyyu Atta, as the title here. Atta Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulun a'ma. A blind man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala ya Rasulullah, innahu laysa li qa'idun yaquduni ila al-masjid. Indeed, I have no guide to lead me, to take me to the masjid. Fasa'ala Rasulullah yurakhisa lahu, fayusalliya fi bayti. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission to pray at home. And he gave him permission. فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ فَلَمَّا وَلَّدَ And then when he was leaving, he called him back. فَقَالَ هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءَ بِالصَّلَاةِ He said, do you hear the adhan for the salah? قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ فَأَجِبْ He said, yes. He said, then answer it. Which means, as long as you hear the adhan, you have to answer. Abdullah, which means Ibn Mas'ud, said, من صره أن يلقى الله غدا مسلما فليحافظ على هؤلاء الصلوات حيث ينادى بهن. Whoever would love to meet Allah tomorrow, which means next life in the future, as a Muslim, let him maintain those prayers wherever the call is made for them. فإن الله شرع لنبيكم سنن الهدى Because Allah has legislated for your prophet the ways of guidance. وَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنْ سُنَنِ الْهُدَى And they are of the ways of guidance. وَلَوْ أَنَّكُمْ صَلَّيْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ كَمَا يُصَلِّي هَذَا الْمُتَخَلِّفُ فِي بَيْتِهِ لَتَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ And were you to pray in your homes like this man who stays behind in his home, you would by that be dropping the sunnah of your prophet. وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَلْتُمْ And should you leave the sunnah of your prophet, you would be misguided. وَمَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَتَطَهَّرْ فَيُحْسِنُ الطَّهُورِ ثُمَّ يَعْمَدُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدِ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا حَسَنَةٍ And no man we perform a good wudu, then go to one of those masajid, but with every step that he makes, a good deed will be recorded for him. وَيَرْفَعُهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً, and he will be raised by it one degree or one level in Jannah. وَيَحُطُ عَنْهُ بِهَا سَيَّةً, and he will drop off him, that is Allah Azza wa Jalla, drop off him by it a sin. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ. Now this part of the saying of Abdullah Mas'ud must be a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because he cannot know this by himself unless the Prophet ﷺ told him. So this is considered as a hadith. حكم المرفوع, it is raised to the Prophet ﷺ. Then he continues, Ibn Mas'ud, تَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ مَعْلُومٌ نِفَاقٌ, which means, and I have seen us, which means I have witnessed the Sahaba, myself with the Sahaba at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, no one will stay behind or not attend the Jama'ah prayer except a munafiq, a hypocrite whose hypocrisy is well known, is clear to people. All people know that this is a munafiq. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يُؤْتَى بِهِ يُهَادَى بَيْنَ رَجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِ, and a man used to be brought leaning on two men, which means a man so weak that he cannot walk by himself, he would be brought leaning on two men, hatta yuqama fi as-saf, until he is made to stand in the line for the prayer. So this is how keen they were to attend the jama'ah prayer. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من سمع النداء فلم يأته فلا صلاة له إلا من عذر. Now the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is in Sahih Muslim and in An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. This hadith is in Kubba Ibn Majah and others, Ibn Majah, Al-Hakim, Al-Bayhaqi, and it is considered authentic by Albani in Sahih Ibn Majah. It says, من سمع نداء فلم يأتي فلا صلاة له إلا من عذر. The one who hears the adhan and does not come to the prayer, then there is no prayer for him, which means his prayer is not accepted except from if he has an excuse, which means if he has an excuse. Now, hadith, the previous hadith of the blind man, and a similar hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, which says, "Man sami'a nida'a falyulabbih," whoever hears the nida', the call to the prayer, let him respond. And this last hadith that we read, reported by Ibn Abbas, all indicate that what makes it obligatory to attend the jama'ah prayer is hearing the adhan. Which means that the person should be at such a distance that the adhan is audible to him, that he can hear the adhan. Okay, which means, you know, judging the distances by, or the distance that the voice will be carried in their times, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when there were no factories in the Medina, there were no cars, nothing to limit the distance, the sound, except the distance. Then, in such situations, you probably have been in places where you are far away from civilization, like in a desert or something like that. Then you know that the sound carries much further. So the distance would be, the scholars say that in such cases, the distance, if you are in a flat plain, not at the top of a mountain or something like that, and if the muezzin stands on the top of the masjid and give the adhan, then his voice will carry probably for about maybe up to a mile or so. Okay, if a person with strong voice is giving adhan, it would go to about a mile, maybe even more. Allahu alam. So roughly, very rough, this is a very rough estimate, that the distance of obligation that makes it obligatory to attend the jama'ah prayer is a circle of about a mile around the masjid. So if you are in a circle of that distance around the masjid, one is obliged to attend the jama'ah prayer. If you are further away, then you are not obliged, but it is recommended. Now, some people say that in our time that we have cars, the obligation extends to further distances, because in those times it was, the distance was about a mile, because they need, from the time they hear the adhan, they need to get ready, perform wudu, and they come to the masjid, and that takes about 10-15 minutes. So that time that they used to need to get to the masjid to attend the jama'ah, we can, in that same time, we can make now 10, in 10 minutes we can make 10 miles. We can come from a distance of 10 or more miles sometimes. So therefore the circle of obligation is more now. That's what some people say. And it is better to stick to the hadith and not extend the distance, because somebody would argue that, but now there is more traffic and there are some other things. And so instead of going into that mess, we just say that we go by the hadith that whoever is able to hear the adhan in the unconstrained or unrestricted situations that are similar to the ones of those times, then he is required to attend the prayer. Whoever does not, then it is recommended for him, who is not in this circle, it is recommended for him to come, but it is not an obligation. What else? He says, unless he has an excuse in the last hadith that we read, an excuse should be a valid excuse, like for instance, the person just at the time of the prayer, he was, or he was trying to get ready for the prayer, and it took him longer for wudu, or in the bathroom, or things like that, or he was eating and the food was put and he could not leave because he will be thinking of the food if he is so hungry that the food will be on his mind, or something like that that would take his mind away from the prayer. So, or he was sleeping and he could not wake up, or something like that. So valid excuses like that would permit him to make up the prayer by himself, or to pray by himself. Otherwise, it is an obligation on a person who lives close to the masjid to come and attend the jama'ah prayer. There is a hadith that you may hear, or some people may quote it, but it is unauthentic. I don't know if it has any valid isnad. It says, لا صلاة لجار المسجد إلا في المسجد. There is no prayer for the neighbor of the masjid except in the masjid. Now this is invalid hadith, and it could be, the text of it could lead to a big misunderstanding, because it means that all prayers should be prayed in the masjid, including the sunnah prayer. And this is not right. And also, as you heard in this hadith of Ibn Abbas, there are cases when there is an excuse for the person and he is not obliged to pray in the masjid. But in general, it's an obligation on the person who is close to the masjid to pray the jama'ah prayer in the masjid. And if he does not do that, he commits a sin by that. And his prayer may not be acceptable, because the hadith says, فَلَا صَلَاتَ لَهُ. He will not have a prayer. His prayer will not be counting, except if he has an excuse.
Does it make it wajib for the person to move close to the masjid?
Oh, it doesn't make it wajib. No, you live wherever it is suitable for you. And if you come from a further distance to the masjid to attend the jama'ah, you get more reward, as we know from some other ahadith that we probably will go over them. Now, if you live close to the masjid, especially in countries like this country where we are, then it is better for you, because then you will have more chance to be, you'll be more frequent in the masjid, so it will be more protection for you to be with the jama'ah of Muslims. Whereas if a person lives 50 miles away of any masjid, or in the middle of nowhere, and he says, I happen to be here when there are no masajid around me and I have to pray by myself, then he's putting himself in too much fitna, and he may get drafted by shaitan to serve him instead of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is much weaker by himself. Okay, the fadl or the virtue, the excellence of the jama'ah prayer. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul jama'ah tafdu salatul fadhi bi 27 daraja. The jama'ah prayer is better than the prayer individually by 27 times or 27 degrees. وعن أبي هريرة radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صلاة الرجل في الجماعة تضاعف على صلاته في بيته وفي سوقه 25 ضعفا وذلك أنه إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم خرج إلى المسجد لا يخرج إلا الصلاة لم يخطو خطوة إلا رفعت له بها درجة وحط عنه بها خطيئة فإذا صلى لم تزل الملائكة تصلي عليه ما دام في مصلاه اللهم صل عليه اللهم ارحمه ولا يزال احدكم في صلاه منتظر الصلاه متفق عليه. This hadith means that the salah of a man in jamaah is multiplied over his prayer at home or in his market, which means in his workplace, by 25 times. Now That other one says 27 and this says 25, and the rule is that if there are differences like this, then you go by the higher number, because the higher includes the lower, whereas the lower does not include the higher. So when he says 27, it's 27 includes 25 plus 2 more, so there's no contradiction. But if we go by the lower, then what happened to the two additional ones that are mentioned in the other hadith? Do you understand? Okay. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, that is because, and here that is doesn't necessarily mean that he's explaining why it is 27 times or 25 times. It is... But he is explaining why it is better. He is explaining the excellence of it and not the number, because if you count what he'll be saying next, you'll find that they will add up to much more than 25 or 27, which means that the jama'ah prayer, actually a person who goes to the jama'ah prayer, he gets rewards that will add up to more than 25 or 27 times. 27 or times is just for being with the jama'ah, but what comes before it and after it are additional things that add to the whole package to make the jama'ah prayer a much, much more rewardable thing than praying by oneself. He says, and that is because when he performs the wudu in a good manner, and note that this is now what we'll be saying in the next few couple of lines, is almost exactly the same as what Ibn Mas'ud said in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, and that was, as you saw it, this text of was the statement of Ibn Mas'ud. He didn't say the Prophet ﷺ said that, but now we see that it is actually said by the Prophet ﷺ, as is reported by Abu Hurairah, and that's why that proves that what we said, that Ibn Mas'ud could not have said it of his own, because it's something that is a matter of ghaib, that he must have heard it from the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, and that is because when a person performs a good wudu and then he goes out to the masjid, not going out except for the prayer, which means he's not going out to sell a car or to meet some people and have some nice discussion, he's going for the purpose of the prayer. Now if there are other things that will happen during that time, there's nothing wrong with that, but his sincere intention is the prayer itself. If he goes for that, Then, so your watch is also 5 minutes ahead of time? Okay. That is because then he goes to the masjid, not going out except for the prayer. He would not walk or make a step, but he will be raised by it 1 degree. And a sin will be removed from him. And then when he prays, the angels will continue to supplicate for him as long as he is sitting in his musalla, in his place of prayer, saying, "O Allah, have salli alayh, praise him or make have a good mention of him, have mercy on him. Allahumma arhamu, have mercy on him. O Allah, forgive him," etc., etc. وَلَا يَزَالُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي سَلَامٍ تَذَرَ السَّلَاةِ, and one of you will continue to be in a prayer as long as he waits for the prayer. So while you are waiting, if you come early, like say 10-15 minutes before the prayer time, this will count for you as if you are praying. All these 10-15 minutes that you are sitting in the masjid waiting for the prayer, it counts as prayer. And after the prayer, is also counts as if you are sitting in the prayer. The angels will continue to make dua for you as you are sitting there, as long as you are sitting in your place of prayer. لَمْ تَزَلِ الْمَلَيْكُ صَلِّ عَلَيْهِ مَدَامَ فِي مَصَلَّى. The angels will continue to make dua for him as long as he is sitting in his place of prayer. You had a question?
How much
should be for the inshallah, when we get to the Jum'ah prayer, inshallah, we discuss it. But yeah, there is definitely a reward, as we will see. They are specified in the hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ghada ila al-masjid wa rah, a'adda Allahu lahu nuzulahu min al-jannah kullama ghada aw rah." When a person goes to the masjid in the morning or in the afternoon at Asr time, then, which means whenever he goes to the masjid, no, actually this means these two times, the morning and the afternoon before Maghrib. When a person goes at these two times to the masjid, Allah prepares for him his dwelling, his residence in Jannah, whenever he goes, or in the morning or in the evening. So, in other words, his residence in the Jannah will continue to be improved and furnished for him with every going to the masjid that he goes to the masjid. Allah will make it even better and better for him.
Concerning hadith like this, where
when
the person slips back from doing these good deeds, like coming to the masjid and making these different salah.
Well, I don't think so. If he slips back and he regrets the good that he did, then yeah, that will be taken away from him. If he regrets it, if he says, "I wish I didn't do that good.
Yeah.
I wish instead of facing the time going to the masjid, I was enjoying myself, my life, etc." Then he will lose the effect, the value of his deeds. That's the only situation that I can think of right now. Or if he reverts from Islam to kufr,
yes,
which this is a similar way to it, similar thing to it. But otherwise, if a person did good deeds and then he became weaker and he doesn't do as good as he did in the past, no, Allah Azza wa Jal will still preserve for him whatever good he did. Now for the women, it is permissible for them to attend the Jama'ah prayer if they want to do that, if they so wish, but with two conditions. بشرط أن يتجنبن ما يثير الشهوة ويدعو إلى الفتنة من الزينة والطيب. With this condition, that they have one condition, that they avoid whatever would stir the desire of men, that is, or cause fitna to them, tempt them, or what's the better way than tempt? Seduce them, or cause temptation to them, right? Maybe seduce is too strong in this case. Okay. Which means that she should not adorn herself or use perfume in a way to attract the men. So if she does that, then if she does avoid that, then inshallah she is permitted to come to the masjid. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تمنعوا نساءكم أو إماء الله مساجد الله وبيوتهن خير لهم. Okay. Excellent. Also, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تمنع إماء الله مساجد الله ولكن ليخرجنا وهن تفلات. Okay, the previous hadith that we read, the two about the excellence of the Jama'ah prayer are in the, recorded by Bukhari and Muslim. The one about by Ibn Umar that we just read before this is recorded by Abu Dawood and Ahmad, and this one, the last one that we just read, is recorded by also Abu Dawood and Ahmad, and they have the same meaning, but it says both of them say, do not prevent the women or the female slaves of Allah to go to the masajid or to the houses of Allah. The first one of Ibn Umar says, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ, and their houses are better for them, which means it's better for them to pray at home, but if they wish to pray in the masjid, do not prevent them. The second one by Ibn Umar, by Abu Huraira, he says, he adds, وَلَكِنْ لِيَخْرُجْنَا وَهُنَّ تَفِيلَاتٍ, but let them go out when they are very plain in their clothing, that is, in their way appearance. Let them not be attractive at all. Okay. And also Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that أَيُّمَا مْرَأَةٌ أَصَابَتْ بَخُورًا فَلَا تَشَدَنَّ مَعْنَا الْعِشَاءَ الْآخِرَةِ. Any woman who has what is بَخُور, incense, who puts بَخُور, incense on her clothing, let her not attend with us Al-Isha' al-Akhirah, the Isha' prayer, that is, the last Isha' prayer, which means the Isha' prayer. And why he specified Isha', probably because their practice at those times was that women would adorn themselves and put bakhur, incense, on their clothing in the evening when their men are or come back home. So that's why he specified that, because that's probably what was more common for them. Otherwise, any time the woman is not allowed to come out from her house when she is perfumed. In regard to the hadith of Ibn Umar, there is something additional authentically reported, that when he said, do not prevent the woman from attending the masajid, he had a son of his, son of Ibn Umar, which means a grandson of Umar, who said, Wallahi la namna'hun. He said, by Allah, we will prevent them. We will not allow them to go to the masjid. What is this? Yani he wants to be more, very strict. He said, by Allah, we will prevent them. So his father was very upset with him. He said, أَقُولُ لَكَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَا تَنَوْ مَسَاجِدُ اللَّهِ وَتَقُولُ وَلَا يَمْنَعْهُنْ. I tell you, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم say this, and you say something opposite to it, you say, we will surely prevent them, I will never speak to you. لَا أُكَلِّمُكَ أَبَعْ أَبَدًا. I will never speak to you. He was so angry with him because he opposed the command of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, I will never speak to you. And it is said that he died without speaking to his son after that. Abdullah bin Umar. Yeah, his son. Alaykum as-salam.
So his son stuck with that opinion even after his...
No. But as a punishment for him, because he uttered a statement that shows defiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The opinion is not important. Somebody may find in certain situations that, you know, the women are causing fitna, they are not applying the adab that are mentioned in this hadith, and therefore it is more safer or more safe for the ummah or as a whole, not for them to go. But to say when he is saying, Rasulullah said so, and he says, no, I will do the opposite, that shows contention with the Prophet ﷺ himself. It is appears to be a major sin, and that is why he was angry with him, and he said, I will never speak to you.
This is the son of
Allah. Yeah. But her house, as you heard from the above hadith of Ibn Umar, that her house is better for her. It's better for her to pray in her house. Hamid, or Humayd al-Sa'idiyah, said that she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbu salata ma'ak. O Rasulullah, I love to pray with you. He said, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكِ تُحِبِّينَ الصَّلَاةَ مَعِي. He said, I know that you love to pray with me, behind me. That is, she likes to follow him in the prayer in the masjid. وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي بَيْتِكِ خَيْرٌ لَكِ مِنْ صَلَاتِكِ فِي حُجَّتِكِ. But your prayer in your room, in your bedroom, is better for you than to pray in the outer room. وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي حُجْرَتِكِ خَيْرٌ لَكِ مِنْ صَلَاتِكِ فِي دَارِكِ. And to pray in your outer room is better than to pray in the outermost part of your house. وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي دَارِكِ خَيْرٌ لَكِ مِنْ صَلَاتِكِ فِي مَسْجِدِ قَوْمِكِ. And your prayer in that part of your house is better than your prayer in the masjid of your people in your area, that is. وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي مَسْجِدِ قَوْمِكِ خَيْرٌ لَكِ مِنْ صَلَاتِكِ فِي مَسْجِدِ. And your prayer in your local masjid is better than you pray in my masjid here. So the woman, is better for her to be as far away from light as possible, and that even in prayer. And even behind the Prophet ﷺ. Can you know, imagine this, that he is telling her that her prayer in her innermost room is better for her in her bedroom than to pray behind the Prophet ﷺ himself. So we stop here, inshaAllah, and we will continue with the discussion of Salat al-Jama'ah next week. هذا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.